Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. It's good to be worshiping the Lord one more time. Now, who thought that this is what we would come to church with, right, at this point in time in our lives? But the Lord be praised. As you know, I'm Sister Grace, and this is... I'm getting cues from Marlo in the back. My chain is going to be honoring it. Amen. So glad to be with you all virtually this morning. And, you know, usually this part of the service, we would greet one another. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to greet the members of your household. If you have not given them a hug yet this morning, this is a great time just to reach over, give them a hug. You know, it's really easy to live together and not show affection. And something I realized in living, you know, with my children, that, you know, those moments when we just reach over and hold each other, very precious moments. So this is your opportunity right now this morning to, if you have not yet hugged a member of your household, to do so. And for those of you who are not living with anyone, you're by yourself, you know that you're not alone, but because the Lord is with you, what I'm going to ask you to do is to take a minute and send a hug emoji to someone. And what I'm going to ask you to do also out there, if you know someone who is by themselves this morning, take this moment to send them a hug emoji. And so, you know, feel free to send me one. I won't be able to send it back to you till later, but just know that hugs are coming your way, whether you can feel them physically or just virtually. And we know that He is Lord of all. He is Lord of this moment. He is Lord of this time in history where the world, in my estimation, seems to be turned upside down. But it's not the first and it's not the last. So we just give Him praise and honor. So I just want to say a word of prayer before I begin. Dear Lord, Lord, I bless Your name this morning. I praise You, Lord. The song says, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing My great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. Jesus, my Savior and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread to all the world abroad the glories of Your name. Lord Jesus, praise You today, Lord. With this breath that You have given me, Lord, I praise You, Lord, because You are worthy, Lord, of praise. Lord, thank You for Your word that You have given to us. Lord, You have made it possible for us not only to read Your word, but to even hear You speaking to us, Lord. Lord, thank You so much, Lord, for all that You've done. Lord, thank You for belonging to You. And Lord, we just pray that everyone that has taken the time this morning to tune in, that You in Your greatness would speak to each one. You do not disappoint. You cannot disappoint. Lord, I pray that each one would hear from You, including me, Lord. Lord, I love to hear what You have to say. You have only good things, Lord. Your words are life. Lord Jesus, thank You for who You are today, Lord. Lord, I praise You. Lord, I honor You. Lord, I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, as different ones of us pray, there are certain things that different ones will end their prayers with that I love and I've come to rely on. Our dear sister Laverne, when she's ending her prayers, a lot of times she'll say, Jesus, I adore you. I love that. You know, and Elder Jim, he will usually say, I'll be so careful to give you the praise. Let's give God a careful praise this morning. Amen. Let us praise Him. It says in the Psalms, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And if you have not voiced your praise, take this moment and voice your praise. You know, as an educator, we are taught to engage as many senses during our, when we're teaching, to engage all, you know, all the senses. So, you know, we think praise, but something happens when we voice praise. So even though you may be sitting at home in your bathrobe or, you know, wherever you are relaxing and, you know, this is our moment. This is our moment with the Lord. Set aside. It's been called the Lord's Day. And, you know, I love the moments with the Lord. Sometimes I go out for a walk and I say, Lord, this is our moment. What do you have to say to me? I'm listening, Lord. And He does not disappoint. So this morning, engage. Speak praises to God. He is worthy of all praise. And, you know, if, you know, some of us, you know, you may be sick this morning. You know, you may not feel well. Our bodies are prone to illness. You know, that's part of living in this world. But if you can wiggle a toe, wiggle it for the Lord. Amen. With my breath, Lord, I will praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I've had the privilege of seeing my parents go home to be with the Lord. And even though it was painful for me to watch, I remember with whatever breath they would have, it would be a praise to the God of their life, the God who gave them life. So I encourage you to praise Him this morning. I won't be before you long. By God's grace, this morning, the topic of this message is come to me. And the text verse, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there, is Matthew 11, verse 28. And it's, you know, well known in Christian circles, this passage of scripture. And it reads, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Praise the Lord. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. These are the very words of Christ, and even his heart as he bids us to come. In this chapter, Jesus' public ministry is now in full bloom. The opening verses of this chapter reveal an official handoff as he addresses John's disciples who came to inquire about who he really was. John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask this question. Are you the one who was to come? Or should we expect someone else? Let us remember this question, because it is a question that continues to be asked to this very day. Are you the one? Should we expect someone else? For just a few minutes, I want to explore with you this invitation from Jesus himself. Since this is our month to elaborate on our foundations of faith, I will approach this from a basic information gathering system called the 5 W's and 1 H. The 5 W's. To discuss this invitation from Jesus himself. The first of the 5 W's is the question why. And the why that I would ask is, why do you give me a choice? You see, this passage of scripture reads like an invitation to me, not a command. The why is sometimes the hardest question to answer. Project managers are told to ask this question at the beginning of a project in order to get clarity and direction. It is considered a fundamental question. When having a discussion with children, I often dread the whys. Why do I have to go to bed now? Why do I have to say thank you and please? Why can't I have dessert before dinner? I don't have a good answer for that yet. When all else fails and we cannot really think of a reason, perhaps it's something our own parents told us, so now we pass it on. Can't think of a good reason or a reason that makes sense? So what do we say? Because I said so. So I started this dialogue one day with the Lord, because it dawned on me that I had a choice as to whether I actually came to Jesus with a particular situation or whether I would do it my way. I also know that he is not put out by my questions. He does not have an ego that is bruised when challenged by my questioning him. On this particular day, I wasn't too keen on doing it his way, because his way would involve waiting and patience and prayer and faith and perhaps seeking counsel and on and on. Well, I had an immediate solution that wouldn't be so drawn out. So I reasoned. My conversation with the Lord went on, and I said, so why did you give mankind the ability to choose in the first place? Why did Adam and Eve have the ability to choose to do their own thing? I mean, if you're so all-powerful and everything, shouldn't you have seen their disobedience coming? In giving the opportunity to choose came the opportunity to not choose him. So I asked him, why? Why did you give us a choice? For surely if I were God, I would not have given my created beings the opportunity to choose not to obey me. His answer was almost immediate. It was for love, he said. Grace. And I can hear him calling my name. Grace, one of the most powerful and enduring expressions of love I could give you was the ability to choose. Choice. You get to choose. I want you to be able to look at your options and say, yes, I choose you, Lord. So now Jesus says, grace, come to me. In Psalms 119:59 in the New American Standard, it says, I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I thought about it. And I turned my feet to your testimonies, Lord. to you, Lord. And, you know, one of the when toddlers decide that, and figure out that they have a choice, it's cute, right, when they're toddlers, right? They say they have something and you want them to come. You say, come, come. And they look at you and they look at what they have. And they said, if I go, they're going to probably take this away from me. So they run the other way, right? Same way with the Lord. We have a choice. One of his most powerful and enduring expressions of love. The second W is, what happened to cause Jesus to give this invitation? He knows about weariness and burdens. He himself experienced this as a man. His coming in human form gave validity to the human experience. To give validation means to give recognition or affirmation that a person's feelings or opinions are worthwhile. He experienced the full range of humanity. He was hungry, tempted, taunted by evil. In Hebrews 5, it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. Then it goes on to say, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. So if you've been crying out in weariness, he understands. He understands the human experience. Since he himself experienced weariness and burdens, he can say, come to me. I know what it feels like. He had to take orders from parents. He needed sleep. He sometimes hid himself from danger. And you know, and when I thought about this, one point that he sometimes would hide himself from danger. The King of Kings, the one mighty in battle, in his humanity, he understood fear. He subjected himself to that. He was doubted. His love questioned. Mary and Martha in John 11. They said to him after Lazarus had died, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. In other words, I thought you loved us. I thought we were special to you. So beloved, he fully understands and can handle our grief. In our weariness with life, and life is very weary, he says, come to me with your weariness. Come to me with your weariness. He doesn't say, go contemplate the meaning of life. Go read a little bit more. Go search and talk to this one or that one. In verse 40 of that chapter in John 11, when he goes on with Mary and Martha, and he goes to the tomb and he raises Lazarus from the dead. He said, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? I told you. Yes. But he experienced grief. And you know, when he went when he heard about Lazarus' death and he went to Mary and Martha, he wept. He knows the fullness of grief. He experienced it. The song says that you heard, we played a little bit of it before we got started. I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. You know, I am all for talking to somebody about my troubles. I am all for talking to a therapist. And I am all for taking a pill for it. And that anxiety, I'm all for that. I just have to say that. But when I talk to Jesus about it, I know he hears. Not only does he hear, but I know he understands. The psalm says, he understands my thoughts from afar. And I didn't bring it with me, but you know, I was looking at that one day, and it doesn't say that he knows it. You know, he knows it. He's all knowing, but he actually understands it. He gets it. So he can say, come to me. He doesn't say, you know, don't go to somebody else. But in your going, come to me. Talk to him about it. And I talked to him about it, just like I'm talking to you this morning. And, you know, my daughter Kristen said one of the most dearest things, says a lot of dear things, and, but she was saying that, you know, her baby had her up in the middle of the night, and she said, I was praying, Mom, and I was just talking to God out loud, because I want her to get used to me talking to God. And I said, amen. There's a song that says, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. He will hear your faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. Yes, just have a little talk with him. Sometimes we talk to everybody else but him. We think, oh, he knows. There's something happens when you actually talk to him about it. He talks back. And there is no sweeter voice. The next W says, is another question. And it's, who bids us come? Who bids us come? Saul asked this question. The scripture says in Acts 9 that Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He received permission to immediately arrest any Christian he came across. Well, he found himself on the ground looking up into the sky and asked this question, who are you? The answer came back, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. That's a whole nother message. It's personal. You know, when people do things to hurt me, I say, you don't know what you're doing. Jesus takes this personally. He takes it personally. And I pray for them because the Lord told us to pray for our enemies. And I pray for them. I say, Lord, have mercy. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus takes it personal. So you know, he says, leave room for his wrath. And, you know, because he can do a much better job of dealing with it than we can. So, yes, we come to him. That's not right. So, excuse me, have you ever asked this question? Well, who are you to tell me to come anyway? Perhaps we don't ask it quite so boldly, but we do ask. When I was younger, I knew that I couldn't sass my parents to their face. I might end up like Saul, looking up in a daze. So I would go and I would sass in the mirror, talk bad in the mirror. It would go like, who do you think you are telling me I can't go over to so-and-so's house? Or telling me that I can't wear something I bought with my own money. I mean, who do they think they are? I can't wait till I'm grown and can leave this place and do whatever I want. So this dialogue, who bids us come? The scriptures tell us about a man named Nicodemus. He wanted to know who this Jesus was. Now, Nicodemus, I know we know the story well in John 3. He was a Pharisee and a member of the ruling council, the scripture tells us. And in John 3, and I do want you to turn there, we're going to just talk a little bit. You know, John 3 is the story about Nicodemus. And, you know, it says that he came to him at night. And I'm not sure exactly why he came at night. I've heard some say that he, being a Pharisee, he didn't want to necessarily associate with Jesus or whatever. But I have another thought about why he came to Jesus at night. And it's just another thought. If you've ever read what Jesus had to say about the Pharisees, that might be good enough reason to go to him at night. In Matthew 23, just to give you a little clip of what Jesus said about Pharisees, in Matthew 23, it says this, "Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, 'The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them.'" Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogue. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Now, this is just a few verses of what Jesus had to say to Pharisees. And this is some strong language. And so no wonder Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. He maybe thought, you know, this needs to be just one-on-one. Nicodemus, he said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." Remember, we're talking about who bids us come. So Nicodemus was willing to grant Jesus that, yeah, there was something special about you. But he wasn't convinced. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." You know, Jesus, he's talking to a Pharisee of the ruling council. The phylacteries that they talked about, from what I can understand, is they had the words of Moses in little pieces of paper that they wore on their sleeves and on their forehead. And they painstakingly wanted to practice the law, and they studied the law. And so he's reasoning with Jesus. He says, be born again. So I'm supposed to go back into my mother's womb? Jesus said, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. You hear it, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? And they go on to talk about this. But you know, what I wanted to mention about this, when Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You know, I've been a labor and delivery nurse for a couple of decades now, seeing a lot of babies born. And childbirth is considered, you've heard it referred to as the miracle of childbirth. Miracle means it's an act of God. So every time a child is born, it's miraculous. There are so many things that have to happen for that to happen. It's miraculous in many ways. With each birth, each individual gets a unique genetic code. My genetic code is not like Elder Bill's genetic code. But even though I get a unique genetic code when I'm as an individual, and every child born has their own unique genetic code, that our parentage can still be discovered through DNA testing with 100% accuracy. So they can still tell who your parents are, even though your genetic code is unique. So when Jesus says, Nicodemus, you got to start from scratch. You need a new birth. You know, when, as I thought about this, as the Lord started to minister to me about this, I have to tell you, I got real excited. Because, you know, as I prayed about this message today, I said, Lord, I pray that we would fall more and more in love with you. I pray, Lord, that I would fall more and more in love with you. And I know he's doing it, because as I thought about the new birth, when we see a new baby, you know, we say, sometimes we see the resemblance of their parents. We say, oh, he looks like his father. Oh, he looks like his mother. Right? But whether he looks like them or not, you can't argue with DNA. And as I thought about the new birth, and when Jesus said, you come to me for new birth, Because when the Father looks at you, He sees me. I may not act like Him a lot of times. But He sees Jesus when He looks at me. That genetic code that He places in us cannot be changed, cannot be denied. I may go out and act a fool. My parents would say, don't go out and act a fool. Jesus said, come to me for rebirth. When the Father looks at you, when you receive me, your whole makeup is changed. Nicodemus, you study the law. You know it doesn't work. You try your best, and it's not enough. When He looks at us, those of us who have received Jesus, He sees, God looks and He sees Jesus. When you walk and you look in the mirror today, tomorrow morning, I want you to say, Lord, you do some good work. You do a perfect work, Lord. I'm not going to argue with your work. When we trust in our own ability to live the life of Christ, it's a trap. Jesus says, come to me, trust in my righteousness. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. I am the promised one, the only Savior. Jesus broke it down for Nicodemus. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Come to me for rebirth. Come to me to be made new. We want to present our righteous deeds. You want to say, this is what I did. But we don't need to trust in our own. Come to me, Jesus says. I have fulfilled all righteousness. Clothe yourself in my righteousness with this new genetic code. The Father sees me in you. You really are my only plea. The song says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bids me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. I come every day, every moment. I come, Lord, I come. Now, what happened to Nicodemus? I believe he did come. He did lay aside his phylacteries, his observance of the law. He came to the only Savior. Because later on, if you'll read John, the 19th chapter, it says that Nicodemus, along with Joseph of Arimathea, they were the ones actually who took the body of Jesus, it says. The two of them wrapped it with the spices and strips of linen. So he believed. He came. Who are you? You are my only claim to righteousness. Jesus says, come, claim my righteousness. When can we come? Number four, when can we come? Another of his gifts he gives us, moments. We can only handle the moments. He has the big picture. He holds eternity in his hands. But he lovingly gives us moments. I find that worries come when I try to live in a moment that he has not yet given me. In Isaiah 46, it says, "Remember this, fix it in your mind, take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come." Jesus was in the beginning with God, so he knows from the beginning how it will end. We can't handle that knowledge. So he lovingly gives us moments. In this moment, we hear him say, "Come to me." In this moment, we can come to him moment by moment. We know the hymn that says, "I need thee every hour." I need him every minute. Sometimes the very next hour, I can't even bear to think about. I can't even bear to think about it. But he says, "Grace, then come to me in this moment. Leave that next hour where it is. I had the whole picture. I've given you this moment to come to me. And my burdens are light." I remember one day I was talking to a sister, and I said to her, today I was like, "Lord, I can't take these burdens, so I'm going to trade my burdens for yours, because yours are light. So I'm going to give you this burden. I can't handle it. I just can't." Isn't it wonderful? Oh, how wonderful! Oh, how marvelous! And this is my song. This my song will ever be. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Lord, I thank you in this moment. I come with my weariness and my burdens. I come. You call me to come, and I come. I come. I come, Lord. And number five, where is he taking us? Where are we going, Lord? And almost immediately, where do you want to go? Psalms 23 says, "He leads me beside still waters." That's where I want to go, Lord. I need some still waters today. But when I find myself in the valley, that Psalms 23, maybe I'm lingering in the valley. Maybe I've been in the valley and I'm not going through it. I know I can come. And I know that he's with me. If I have to sit in this valley, Lord, then I'm glad I can sit in this valley with you, Lord. I'm sitting in this valley with you, Lord. See, it's not about having different circumstances necessarily, but about who is accompanying me through these circumstances. Have you ever been in a trial with someone who didn't know they were in a trial? You know, years back in a youth group, and we're on our way to a trip. We broke down on the highway. And you know, instead of someone thinking, you know, "I think we need to call a mechanic." You know what those foolish Christians, young people were doing? They were praising God. They said, all right, let's have a trial party. This is a trial. Let's have a party. And that's what I learned about giving, rejoicing in trouble. I saw it. And I said, this is interesting, because I had never seen that before. You know, I never seen that. They started to rejoice. And I can imagine that, you know, when we read about Paul and Silas in jail, and we read about them singing and praises to God, like, wow, Lord, I want to know you like that. In the valley, Pastor, a few Sundays ago, he said, what if God wants us to learn how to breathe underwater? Mm-hmm. I was like, go ahead, Pastor. No, he, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, if that's what you want. You want to show me how I can breathe while I'm underwater. Yes, Lord, with you, I can do all things through you, Lord. I believe you. I will take you at your word, Lord. Psalms 84 says, how lovely is your dwelling place. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. The valley of Baca means the valley of weeping. They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. Not only will he cause the refreshing rain while you're in it, but it becomes pools. We're talking, he pours it on. You ever been in a trial and you say, okay, Lord, thank you for this, because I wouldn't know that you could take me through this if I hadn't gone through it. Now I know. It's in my toolkit. Grace, remember when he brought you through that? You couldn't, back in March, when they were talking about COVID, to think that it would still be here in August, I couldn't think of it. And even now when they started predicting that the fall is going to be even worse, I said, Lord, Lord, Lord. But guess what? He is with us. When you think you can't sit in that house one more minute, he says, come to me. I'm right here with you. So I come, Lord, I come. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. And the last point is the age. How long will this invitation to come last? Is there an expiration date on his invitation to come? In John 17, when he is talking to the Father, he says, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. The invitation to come is until we see him in glory. And just as sure as his presence with us daily, moment by moment, just as surely as we have the new genetic code where God the Father sees Jesus when he looks at us, just as sure we will see him in his glory. That's where we're headed, beloved. That's where we're headed, beloved. Amen. I'm going to keep on coming. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. We're going to have care through prayer. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Our Deacon Gary is with us this morning, and He is going to take us through the throne of grace. And in your household, if you can grab a hand or by faith, reach out. We're going to go to the throne.
Mic check. Mic check. Good morning, Valley Brook. It's my pleasure to be able to share Care Through Prayer with you this morning. And thank you, Sister Grace, for a wonderful message. And I was blessed by it. I'm sure that you were as well. And I'm thankful that we can come to Him anytime, any place, and He's there for us. So let's just take a few moments to pray and to lift up one another, as the Lord has said, that as we bear one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. Let's bow and pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness towards us. And thank you, Lord, that we can come to you, Lord, with confidence and know that you hear and you answer our prayer. Thank you, Lord, that your word says you rejoice over us to do us good. Thank you, Lord, that nothing can separate us from your love. Thank you, Lord, that you are the giver of life. And Lord, we just want to trust you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our spirit, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us, Lord, with families, that we can love one another. Thank you, Lord, for placing us in the families that we're in. Lord, thank you that you use us in one another's lives to help us to grow, to help build us up. And I pray, Lord, for the families within this body, that you would continue to strengthen each family, Lord, strengthen each relationship. Lord, I pray you'd help us in loving you through loving one another. And Lord, we thank you that you indeed have good things in store for us, Lord, as we simply put our trust in you. Lord, I also want to pray just for those who are sick, those who are shut in. Lord, thank you for each person. Thank you. You know the need, Lord. And we just lift them up to you. Pray your grace over each person, Lord, who is dealing with an illness or a sickness, Lord. And we just pray that you would bring forth your healing. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God of the everlasting, Lord. And we just want to look to you. We just want to cast our cares on you. Lord, thank you also. You know our needs, Lord, even financially. Just pray that you bring forth your blessing, Lord, for any who are in need. Lord, thank you that you are faithful to provide our needs, Lord. Lord, even though we're in the midst of a difficult time, Lord, with this pandemic, thank you that you are faithful to meet our needs. And we just pray for any who are in need, Lord, that you would guide their steps, that you would bless them with all that they need. And Father, also, we just pray even concerning just the situation with the virus, Lord. We thank you. You're in control over that, Lord, that you allowed it for a reason. And Lord, we pray that you would use this whole situation to draw people to yourself, Lord, to open their hearts to your truth, Lord, to give them understanding of who you are. Lord, we thank you that you are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. Father, thank you. You're working everything for good to those who love you, those you call according to your purposes, according to your plans. And Father, we pray just for those around the world, Lord, who are affected by all that's going on, that you would have mercy, Lord, on their souls, that you would draw them by your Spirit. Lord, you'd open their hearts to your truth. Lord, we thank you for the things that you're doing. And thank you, Lord, that we are going to be with you, Lord, one day. Even as Sister Grace shared, we're going to be with you, Lord. You're going to take us home. Thank you, Lord, for that hope that we have in store for us. And Father, we also just want to pray and lift up the students. Thank you for each one of them, Lord. And thank you, Lord, just for the circumstances that they're going to have to face this coming school year. And we just pray your grace over each one, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would guide them, you would keep them safe, Lord, that you would direct their steps. And we pray for wisdom, Lord, for those in authority over the schools. Lord, guide their steps, help them to make good choices, Lord, on behalf of our children. And Father, we just want to thank you again for your everlasting love, for your truth, the hope that we have in you. So Lord, we pray and we commit all these things into your hands for your glory, for your name's sake. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Deacon Gary. Now we're going to be blessed with a selection from our own Brother George. So stay tuned. And I don't know if you'll need to refresh your browser, but stay tuned for Brother George. May the Lord bless and keep you. Have a great Sunday.
Wonderful message, Grace.
Amen.
I'm thinking about coming to him today and all week.
Soak it, but just...